In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We heard in the Gospel a great miracle where Christ delivered a man who was possessed by many demons. And no doubt he was a notorious man in that area. People were afraid to go in the area of the tombs where he was at. And the fact that they tried many times to chain him and were unsuccessful shows that they had a great deal of concern about this man. And yet, when Christ confronts the man, casts the demons out, and they enter into a herd of swine, and that herd runs off a cliff and drowns, what's their reaction? Is it, well, you know, what's more important, the man or the pigs? No, the reaction is, you know, Jesus, we need you to go. We need you to go. You're messing everything up for us here. Very often, even though if we were asked what's more important, God or the here and now, the stuff that we have, our actions tell more what we really believe than our words do. We verbally would, of course, say God is more important, but very often our actions tell a very different story. And one thing that's interesting about the swine is that while the man was able to endure having so many demons, the swine were not. So the question is which one was worse, the man or the swine? The swine that couldn't endure the demons or the man that was able to? We find this reaction that people have to God and the holy throughout the scriptures, where people are more concerned with stuff, with their own bodily comforts, than they are with God. In the book of Exodus, we read about the people being delivered by God from slavery, and of course the parting of the Red Sea, the deliverance from the armies of Pharaoh. But as soon as they get out into the wilderness, even before then, they were already complaining about this or that. And when they get out of the wilderness, they complain to Moses, "Who's going to feed us? How are we going to make it in this desert?" And God works a miracle, and every day they're provided with manna. And what is manna? Well, that's what the Israelites asked. That's where the word comes from, because manna in Hebrew means, what is it? They didn't know what it was, but it was sort of a flaky dew kind of thing that showed up on the ground, and they would gather it up, and they would grind it and make it into cakes, and it tasted like honey cakes. And you would think that they would be happy, because here they are out of the desert, they were hungry, and here's a miracle. God provides them with manna for 40 years, up until the time that they entered the land. It didn't stop until they actually crossed over the River Jordan. But they ceased to be amazed by the wonder, and in Numbers, we read this complaint. It says that, "Now the mixed multitudes who were among them yield to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'" Here they have this miraculous bread that's provided to them every day. And what are they doing? They're complaining. They're saying, "Oh, the leeks and the onions, the garlics, the cucumbers, the melon and the fish of Egypt. Oh, if only we could be back there." Of course, when they were back there, they were complaining about slavery and asking God to deliver them from that. But now they're asking God, you know, complaining they would be better off if they were back with all those things. In the Gospels, in John chapter 6, we read about how Christ miraculously fed the 5,000. And then that night, he goes up into a mountain to pray, and the disciples cross the Sea of Galilee. And then you have the storm, and Christ walks out on the water and saves them. And he shows up on the other side, and the people are wondering how he got there, because people are trying to find him. But the reason why they're trying to find him is because they thought it was pretty cool to get free food, and here they're looking to see if they can get another free meal out of the deal. And Christ said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on you." And then further on down in that passage, Christ said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes on me shall never thirst." We are so focused on earthly things that if you look back on it, they're things that are temporal, they're things that are passing, they're things that in the grand scheme of things won't matter. Many times when people reach the end of their lives, they're filled with great regret because they look at what they spent their time on. Maybe they spent their time on their career, and yet they look and they have no real relationship with their children. Or maybe they chose not to have children, and so they simply are very old and lonely. But people usually don't regret that they didn't spend more time at the office or that they didn't make more money at the end of their life. They're thinking about the relationships that they had with people or that they would like to have had with people, but also about their relationship with God. It's a shame to spend your life climbing up the ladder of what you think is success and then getting to the top and realizing that your ladder was up against the wrong wall. And that's very often what people find, is that they spent their whole life trying to achieve things that really didn't matter. Christ is the heavenly bread, the bread that we should be seeking for, the bread that truly satisfies, and we should be prepared to cast anything aside. Unlike the people of the Gadarenes, we should be prepared to lose a little bit of commerce, a little bit of our property, or to be inconvenienced in some way to enhance our relationship with God. That should be the more important thing. Don't reject the bread of life in pursuit of your daily bread, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.